All right. Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves this week in Parshas Baloscha, and what I wanted to focus on a little bit this evening was a fascinating episode that occurs really in the beginning of the parasha. If you take a look at number one, Vaydaber Shema Moshe Lemar. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, saying, "Daber al Aaron va'amarta." I love. Speak to Aaron and say unto him, "Baloscha es haneros." El mul pnei ha-menorah ya'iru shivas haneros. We'll just use a literal translation. When you light the lamps, when you light the menorah, the seven lamps shall cast their light toward the face of the menorah. Vayaskin Aaron al mul pnei ha-menorah, he'ela nerosah kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Aaron did so. He complied with the law exactly as Moshe Rabbeinu handed it down. V'zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah, miksha zav ad yirecha ad pircha, miksha hi kamar asher her Hashem es Moshe kin asas ha-menorah. So the truth is, we've already learned about the menorah before. We learned about the menorah back in Chumash Shmos. But here the Torah is telling us about the actual mitzvah of Hadlakas HaMenorah. So what I'd like to bring out to you tonight is a fascinating Rambam. It's going to do something a little bit different. Because whereas normally we focus a lot in terms of the stories that we learn, in terms of the Mefarshim, here I want to begin with a little bit of Halacha. So the Rambam actually quotes a fascinating halacha. Take a look at number two. This is in the Rambam Hilchos Bias HaMikdash, Perek Tes Halacha Zayin. So the Rambam here is discussing the mitzvah to kindle the menorah. V'chein Hadlakas HaNeros, K'shera B'zarim. So halacha number one is Hadlakas Neros is Kasher B'zarim. Zarim literally means what? A stranger. In this context, what does it mean?
A non-kohen.
So fascinating halacha. One is permitted to kindle, even a non-kohen is permitted to kindle the menorah. Lefichach, therefore, im heitivu ha-kohen as-haneros, if the kohen, literally heitivu as-haneros means, if the kohen arranged the lamps. Remember again, the way the menorah was set up was you had a golden candelabra. On top of the candelabra, there were like receptacles. Cups, like receptacles, you put oil in there, and then there was a wick that would hang over the side. So therefore the Rambam says, if a kohen arranges the oil, puts in the wicks, readies the menorah for kindling, v'hotzion l'chutz, and someone brought the menorah outside, mutter lezard lahadlikon, a non-kohen is permitted to kindle the menorah. So there are three incredible things that the Rambam is teaching me over here. Number one is stated explicitly, that a zar, a non-kohen, is permitted to kindle the menorah. So that's fascinating in and of itself, because the kindling of the menorah is generally assumed to be part of Beis HaMikdash service. If you're part of Beis HaMikdash service, then generally we would assume who has to do the work? The kohen. Yet, amazingly enough, when it comes to the Hadlakas HaMenorah, even a non-kohen is permitted to do it. That's number one. Number two, the Rambam teaches us that although a non-kohen is permitted to kindle the menorah, a kohen must be the one who sets up the menorah. It must be a kohen who what we call does hatavas ha-menorah. Hatavas ha-menorah means the cleaning out of the lamps from the leftover oil and wicks from the previous night, the refilling of the lamps, and the placement of the new wick. That has to be done by a kohen. That's halacha number two. Halacha number three is that the menorah must be lit inside the heichal. Must be lit inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now here, the Rambam doesn't say this one explicitly. What the Rambam actually is referring to here is as follows. How exactly would you have it that a non-kohen would kindle the menorah? I mean, let's think about this logically. A Yisrael, a non-kohen, right? If you could imagine in your mind the picture of the Beis HaMikdash compound. So you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you're in the Azara, the courtyard. Pretty much anyone is permitted to come into the courtyard. At the end of the courtyard, there's two staircases. Staircases going up, a platform, staircases going down. The back staircases take you into the Beis HaMikdash compound. In that courtyard in front of you, you will see the Mizbeach, the large altar used for animal sacrifice. Keep walking, you're going to walk into a building. The first part of that building is called the Ulam, the antechamber. If you keep walking, you will walk into the Kodesh, or what we call into the Heichal. In the Heichal is the menorah, the shulchan, the Mizbeach HaKetores, the altar for incense offering. Keep walking, you hit the curtain, and behind the curtain, of course, is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. So what the Rambam is pointing out of it is a fascinating idea, which is, you're telling me that a non-kohen is permitted to go ahead and kindle the menorah. There's only one logistical problem, which is, a non-Kohen can't walk into the actual place where the menorah is located. He can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash, to which the Rambam says, don't worry, because what you could do is, you could bring the menorah out, have the non-Kohen light the menorah, and then bring the menorah back in afterwards. So halacha number three is a halacha of the placement of the menorah, that the menorah must be placed in the heichal, in the actual building, the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So three dramatic halachos. Number one, any Yisrael, right? Any Jew, even a non-Kohen, could light the menorah. Number two, it is a Kohen who must prepare and ready the menorah. And number three, the placement of the menorah is in the heichal, yet we see that under certain circumstances it can be brought outside. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his Likutei Sichos, goes ahead and expounds on this in an incredible way. Take a look at number three. So writes the Rebbe, Milvat Hamuvan Shahadlakas Neros HaMenorah, in addition to the concept, right? Remember again, the technical halacha that we're discussing over here is the kindling of the menorah. But in a deeper level, Lahadlik Neros Gashim Noros HaGashmis, Yesh Lahadlakas Neros HaMenorah Gamashma'ut Pnimit, says the Rebbe. In addition to the actual concept of kindling the actual physical menorah, embedded in these details is a different or additional internal spiritual dimension. Neros HaMenorah Misamim Es Am Yisrael. We know that the candles, we call it candles, the lights of the menorah, are Misamim, they symbolize the Jewish people. Es HaNeshama Elokis Sheish L'chol Yehudi. Each and every one of those Neros, each and every one of those flames, symbolizes the soul of the Jew. Kedivrei apostik b'mishlei, ner Hashem nishmas Adam. Nishmaso shel Yehudi, hi ner Hashem. The soul is compared to a flame. Paragraph Beis. Ukimo sheba menorah hayu shiva kanim. Just like on a menorah, there were seven branches, each of them contained their own cup with oil, each of them contained their own flame. Shiva neros, kach gam nishmos am Yisrael. Mugdoros b'shiva ofanim shel avodas Hashem. The Rebbe posits that there are seven different pathways or avenues towards our avodas Hashem, which in and of itself is such an incredible idea. There is not one path to the Ribono Shel Olam. There is not one derech to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are multiple avenues for connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each of them legitimate, each of them meaningful, but again, recognizing that we're all different kinds of people, and so we all interact and we all relate and we all connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in dramatically different ways. Skip down to paragraph Gimel. Tafkido shel Aaron HaKohen, hu baloscha es haneros, alav lahalos es haneros, lahair es nishmosim shel Am Yisrael. So the Rebbe posits as follows. Embedded in the mitzvah of baloscha es haneros, embedded in the mitzvah of kindling the menorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Aaron and by extension us a mitzvah to ignite ourselves, to inspire ourselves. See, what I want to tell you is something so incredible. And this is so incredibly important, especially when looking at the Chumashim of Vayikra and Bamidbar. Because Vayikra and Bamidbar are filled with details that we very often look at, and what do we say to ourselves? Nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. A whole book of sacrificial law, nothing to do with me. And even when the Beis HaMikdash comes, still not really going to have that much to do with me, because at the end of the day, I'll bring my carbon, chop off the animal, but again, I'm not the one shechting it, I'm not the one offering it. That's the Kohanim's problem. Even a mitzvah like this, even number one, Balos Chas Haneros, beautiful, commandment to kindle the menorah, great. Who does it apply to? It applies to the Kohen. It doesn't apply to me, and it doesn't even apply now. That's how you have to understand, but yet that can't be. That can't be. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah that is timeless. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah that's eternal, which means every single mitzvah and every single detail has contemporary life relevance. Sometimes it's objectively observable and discernible, and sometimes you have to dig a little bit deeper. What the Lubavitcher Rebbe posits is that embedded in this mitzvah of Baloscha es Haneros, Daber al Aaron, the Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Moshe wants you to speak to Aaron, Vamart Lev, and tell him, Baloscha es Haneros, when you ignite, when you kindle, when you light those, that fire, those Neros, the Rebbe posits, the mitzvah here is not simply kindling a menorah. The mitzvah here is kindling Jews. Kadosh Baruch Hu is being mitzava Aaron, is commanding Aaron, you have an obligation to ignite, inspire, and illuminate. You have an obligation to cause the candles to burn. You have an obligation to cause the menorah to radiate luminescent light. You have an obligation to inspire Klal Yisrael. And as the Rebbe is going to point out something amazing, which is the secret, or at least maybe part of the secret, to Jewish inspiration, is contained here in the mitzvah of the menorah. Look at paragraph Dalet. B'mizgeres tafkid zeh shel hadlokas ner ha-neshama, shel kol echad mi'am Yisrael, yeshnam es shloshes hadinim itam pasachnus. Remember again, so the Rebbe uses as the springboard to understand the deeper message of the menorah, the three halachic concepts that we advanced from the Rambam in number two. Concept number one, aleph, hadlokas ha-neros kishera gam bi'am yishena kohen. So remember again, quick review, halacha number one, even a non-Kohen could go ahead and ignite the menorah, kindle the menorah. Good, that's Aleph. Beis, hatovas haneros tzricha le'asos dafka yidei Kohen. Even though the kindling could be done by anyone, the arrangement of the menorah, which is so interesting, right? The arrangement of the menorah, ultimately, again, could only be done by a Kohen. And number three, mekoma shel menorah, the place where the menorah is, hu beheichal beis hamikdash. That's ultimately, again, in the Beis HaMikdash. So now, let's analyze each of these three items. And again, by exploring them a bit, we're going to learn a number of dramatic lessons. Number four. So again, this is all from the same sicha, all from the same shir, or drasha, of the Rebbe. So his focus is first on halacha number one. So halacha k'shera bizar. So concept number one is that even a non-Kohen could kindle the menorah. What's the message here? Number four, paragraph Aleph. The avod of kindling the menorah. Lahayir nishmo shel Yehudim. Hilo nachalosam habiladit shel kohanim. Hadloka gam ksheira bizarim. What does this mean? Not only kohanim have the ability to light the candle, to ignite the flame. Anyone has the ability to ignite the flame. What's the message? Paragraph Beis. Kol Yehudi yachol. V'cheivan shadavar biyachaloso. Azayhu gam nidrash lemale es hamisima hazu. Hamishnah perkei avos omeres. The Mishnah perkei avos says, "Hevi mi talmid of shal Aaron. Be of the disciples of Aaron." What does it mean to be a disciple of Aaron? Oiv shalom, love peace. Rodev shalom, pursue peace. Oiv es habrios umekarvan laTorah. Love people, and bring them closer to Torah. Paragraph Gimel. Hamishnah mora lechol yudi ba'asher hu. Hevi mi talmid of shal Aaron. Kamim ein chakoin. So listen to this incredible idea. So lesson number one in Jewish inspiration is you have the power and the mandate to self-inspire. You see, you know what the greatest problem with Ruchnius is? If we're honest, the greatest problem with living an inspired life is we outsource our inspiration. Right? Of course I want to be inspired. Rabbi, inspire me. Right? Rebbetzin, inspire me. Teacher, inspire me. I'm ready. I'm a kli. I'm ready to receive it. Bring it on. Right? And bring in all the inspiration. Don't outsource your spirituality. And don't outsource your inspiration. Own your soul. Kindle your own flame. The Rebbe says, if the menorah could only be kindled by a Kohen, that means only Kohanim have the ability to inspire. Maybe only great Rabbanim or Talmidei Chachamim have the ability to inspire, but that's not the halacha. The halacha is anyone could light the flame. Anyone could light the flame. And if anyone could light the flame, that means I have to stop waiting for someone to ignite my flame of inspiration and start lighting it myself. Own your spirituality. How many of us go through life wanting an inspired Judaism, wanting an inspired Yiddishkeit, wanting to connect the Torah mitzvahs, and all I'm waiting for is what? I'm just waiting for the right person to come. Like I'm ready for like my spiritual bashert. I'm just waiting for the right person to speak to me in the way that I need to hear it. And I have needs, right? And I need the right combination of humor and intellect and not too much fluff and a little bit more substance and this, not too machnir, not too mekel, not too matter, not too yeshivish, not chasidish, not litvish. I need exactly like the frequency. And then, oh, then I'm going to be inspired. And people go through an entire lifetime like that, waiting for someone to ignite their flame. Says the Rebbe, stop waiting and start doing. Own your soul. Own your spiritual life. And if you want to make something of yourself, stop waiting for someone else to do it and do it yourself. The Rebbe goes on. This, by the way, is part of a bigger discussion about the concept of responsibility in Yiddishkeit. We don't believe, I actually spoke about this a little bit on Shavuos night, you know, we don't believe in rights. It's actually very interesting to note. Judaism doesn't really believe in rights. You don't have rights. No, you don't have rights to anything. You have no rights to education. You have no rights to marriage. You have no rights to parnasa. You have no rights to health. You have no rights to anything. No one owes you anything. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't owe you anything. What I have are responsibilities. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me 613 mitzvos. I have responsibilities. And so says the Rebbe, responsibility number one in the life of the Jew is own your soul. Own your spirituality. Stop waiting for others to inspire you and take the necessary steps you need to do in order to build yourself. But ultimately, we know that the menorah doesn't just serve me. The menorah serves the klal. Not only do we have the ability to light our own sparks, to light our own flames, but we have the ability to ignite beautiful light in the hearts and in the souls of others. You know, sometimes we speak about the concept of kiruv and of outreach, and I think that there is sometimes an incredible misnomer of thinking that the goal of kiruv is to make people frum. I've always felt, I'll just tell you on a personal level, I've always thought that's a bit arrogant. Right? Who are you to say what someone else should be or shouldn't be? That's not what kiruv is. What kiruv is lighting someone's spark. And then what they're going to do with that, how they're going to use that, that's between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not my job to change people. I have a hard enough time changing myself, let alone going ahead and start changing other people. That's a bit of hubris and arrogance. The job ultimately of kindling the menorah is light the spark in other people. Show other people, start with your own mishpacha, start with your own friends, the beauty of Yiddishkeit, the magnificence of Torah, how incredibly impactful it is to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu in your life. Ignite this spark in other people by being nice, by being kind, by recognizing the humanity in the other, by saying good morning. I don't just mean to fellow Jews, I mean to everyone. By recognizing the humanity in other people, by showing people what it means to be an ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only do you ignite your own flame, but you ignite the flame of the other. This, says the Rebbe, is lesson number one. Find the courage to stop waiting for someone else to ignite your flame. Stop waiting for someone else to kindle your menorah. Own it. Take the responsibility and create your own light. Stop outsourcing your spirituality to some call center in India or to some shir or to some rabbi or to some this or to some that. Own it. You know, there's an incredible statement. The Medrash Shmuel, I feel like I just quoted this in a shir, I just don't remember the context. The Medrash Shmuel quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. He says, I think I quoted it on Shabbos. Asei lecha rav. Asei lecha rav. So we're familiar with this concept. Asei lecha rav. Important idea. Everybody has to have a Rebbe. Everybody has to have a teacher. Everybody has to have a Rav who they could turn to. Rav Shmuel Uzid, the Medrash Shmuel, has a dramatically different interpretation. He says, Asei lecha rav means something else. It means Asei lecha rav. Make yourself into the Rav. Now, listen to the explanation of this before you go crazy with this, right? What does it mean? It says you have to become your own Rebbe. You have to become your own Rebbe in life. Hey, it doesn't mean you have to answer all of your own questions, because a lot of times I don't know the answer. I have to ask someone the answer. But in terms of what's the job of a Rebbe? The job of a Rebbe is to teach Torah, to inspire. Don't wait for someone else to be your Rebbe. Aseilcha Rav. Become your own Rebbe. Self-inspire. Take ownership over your spirituality. Kindle your own menorah. Because after all, as the Rambam writes, Hadlakas Haneros Kshera Bizar. Even a non-Kohen, even the most ordinary of people, is capable of owning their spirituality and igniting the luminescent flame of inspiration. Turn the page. The second halacha. Hatavas Haneros Rak Al Yidei Kohen. But interestingly enough, as much as anyone is permitted to kindle the menorah, only a Kohen is permitted to go ahead and arrange the actual lamps of the menorah. So the Rebbe says something so beautiful. He says, Hayos v'hadlaka k'shera bizar, even though the kindling of the menorah is permitted even with a non-Kohen, Yachol adam lachshov, mechevan she'ikr hu lases lezulas es ara Torah, u'mekarvan la Torah, azay lo mishana keisod u'ma ani ayir osa. So there's a danger. There's a danger in asei lecha rav, in making yourself the Rebbe. Right? There's a danger in making yourself the Rav. There's a danger in kindling your own menorah. What's the danger? The danger is feel-good Judaism. Right? The danger is what's inspirational? Whatever makes me feel inspired. But that's not really how Yiddishkeit works. Just because I like something or I feel something makes me feel inspired doesn't always mean that it's good. The world is filled, organized religion is filled with very well-meaning people who are looking to come closer to God but are pursuing that relationship through all the wrong avenues and mediums. Meaningful inspiration must be rooted in a normative framework of halacha and in a normative framework of avodas Hashem. We have the obligation to own our spirituality, but we do not own the making of the rules. We do not own the creation of new systems. And this happens all of the time. You know, we've spoken about this before as well, which is, you know, if you ever think, Rav Chaim Shalom speaks about this, Rav Hirsch speaks about this, in terms of like the psychology of sin. Right? What's the psychology of sin? Because if you think about it, chet, avera, never makes sense. It just doesn't, logically, it doesn't make sense. You always lose more than you will ever gain. Because think about this. You could imagine in your mind the most incredible avera, right? The best avera you could think of. And whatever benefit you're going to get from it is going to be limited and temporal. It's the way sin works. Whatever it is, whether it's money, immorality, whatever it might be, there's pleasure involved in sin, that's for sure. But the pleasure has a shelf life, as opposed to the fallout of sin, which could potentially be eternal. So why do we sin? Why do we sin? So there's a variety of different answers to this, but Rav Shlomo Shnaufel Hirsch says something dramatically amazing. He says, in reality, we never sin. What does that mean? Sounds great, right? We never sin. It's because the human mind is incredibly complex. He points to the episode of the golden calf. He said, why did the Jews build the golden calf? Well, one of the most comprehension-defying acts. We just heard God speak to us in Mount Sinai. We just said Naaseh v'Nishma. We experienced HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a revelation that was never and will never be replicated. And then literally, we built a golden calf. And we said, Elo Elokech Yisrael, this is the God who took us out of Egypt. What does that mean? Rav Hirsch says something dramatically amazing. He says the Jews didn't believe in the calf. Jews didn't believe in calf. What did the Jews want? The Jews wanted immorality. They wanted immorality. But no one wants to live on the wrong side of the law. So you know what people do? You know what people do? I don't want to be a sinner. I want to be a good guy. So instead of what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to move the line. I'm just going to create a new framework, a new system. And in my new system, what I'm doing is acceptable. So Klal Yisrael, at the base of Har Sinai, invents a new religion. Invents a new religion. Why do they invent a new religion? It's called golden calf, golden calfism. Why do they invent golden calfism? Because it just happens to be that one of the features of golden calfism is no system of morality. Whatever you want goes. It's not wrong, chas v'shalom. It's part of the new age system. There's a danger with that. And it happens all the time. And it happens every single day in the society that we live in, a society of moral relativism, where at the end of the day, nothing's really right and nothing's really wrong. It's whatever you want or however you feel. And that's dangerous. Because when that happens, when suddenly again there are no rules and the rules are made based on what I feel and what I want, that's where ultimately society descends into incredible decay. Spirituality unravels. And the quest of God very quickly evaporates in the face of hedonistic pursuits. So says Lubavitcher is something amazing. Own your inspiration. But only a Kohen is permitted to set up the menorah. What does it mean to set up the menorah? Set up the menorah means the oil, the wicks, the cleaning out of the schmutz, the system that allows for illumination that I can't do. That has to be set up by the Kohen. That's to be set up by he who is the emissary and messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. True inspiration is one that is rooted in authentic Judaism. True inspiration is one that is rooted in Torah and mitzvos. True inspiration is never governed by my contemporary isms or ideology, but is governed ultimately by the system that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me. I could light the menorah. Not only can I light the menorah, I'm obligated to light the menorah, but I can't set off the menorah. I don't choose the oil. I don't choose the wicks. I don't position everything around. That's the Kohen. That's the ambassador of God. That's our Gidolin. That's Chazal. That's Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebichsav. That's our system of halacha. That sets up the oil and the wicks. Then I could come along. And with that basis, with that foundation, then I could ignite a fire of holiness. If you skip a little bit, he says in the paragraph Zayin, HaKohanim, Hem b'nei Hashem v'shalokim b'al nachal az gashas v'aretz Yisrael, al HaKohanim omer ma'atoro, Hashem nachal az HaKohanim, Hem b'nei Hashem, last paragraph, Chesim, sorry, Rak Kohen, she'eno munach, behevi osa olam agashmi achumri, yochol lehitev esaneros. It's only the Kohen who is not rooted in the realities of the physical world, who has the ability to go ahead and set up the oil and the wicks. But to take it, to globalize it a little bit, although every person is responsible to own their spirituality, to own their religiosity, to kindle their own fire, I don't choose the wicks, I don't choose the oil, I don't create the system. I live within HaKadosh Baruch Hu's system. Now, of course, this is not a topic for tonight. Is there room for individuality in the system? Of course. Does Yiddishkeit ultimately acknowledge that times change and therefore norms change? What's the answer to that? Right? So just you should know, a shir like this, right? 75 years ago, unheard of. Women learning Torah? Women learning Torah? Do you have, don't you have better things to do? Right? Do women learn? What's good? Source sheets? We're going to get these source sheets. We're learning inside. We're going to do this. It's not just a little tseno reno or something else. Who ever heard of such a thing like this? Does Yiddishkeit change? See, we forget because we get used to what is now, but we forget that even the Beis Yaakov movement started, right? Beis Yaakov, which today is so... The backlash that came about. Because, so does Judaism understand that you have to adapt religiosity and spirituality with the times? Of course. Certain aspects could change. The heart, the soul, never does. I don't have the right to tamper with the oil and with the wicks. Those are put there by the Kohen. Those are put there by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I ignite with the materials that come from the foundation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our Mesorah has provided for us. And lastly, take a look at paragraph Tess. So now we understand. So now we come to the third aspect, which is Mikoma Shel HaMenorah Hu Behechol. Ultimately, again, remember, the third halacha was, that the Rambam pointed out, is that the placement of the menorah is in the Heichal, inside the Beis HaMikdash itself. So the Rebbe writes as follows. He writes, HaMishl, this is paragraph test, HaMishl Meseches Kelim Mona Eser Kiddusha Zumal Mizu. So the Mishnah talks about, again, that there are different levels of sanctity. Eretz Yisrael Kiddusha Misharatos. The land of Israel is the holiest of all lands. Ayaros Mukafos Choma Kiddusha Misharat Yisrael. Walled cities have greater sanctity than unwalled cities in Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim Mikudeshet Misharayaros. right? Yerushalayim is holier than the other cities. Harabayis mikudesh miYerushalayim lechinala. Harabayis is the holiest place in Yerushalayim. The Beis Hamikdash is the holiest place in Harabayis, so on and so forth. Vechinala. What's the holiest place? Ad leHeichal. Ve'ad leKedusha Analis Piyosha Kodesh HaKadoshim. You see, the Heichal, is the building, is the structure that houses the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The holiest place in the world is the Heichal. That's the holiest spot, the holiest piece of real estate on this earth, ultimately, again, is the Heichal. Let's look at the Rabbis, paragraph Yud. Limros, Shegam HaKomos HaChem Heinam Kedoshim. It's true, there are many holy places in this world. Ultimately, again, the place of the menorah is inside of the Heichal. What does that mean? So technically speaking, if the menorah is positioned somewhere else outside of the Heichal, the menorah is out of place. It's not in the right spot. The menorah needs to be in the Heichal. What's the message? Paragraph Yud Aleph. Mashmu'uso shel prat zeh ba'alocha menoge eleinu. Listen to this. Says the Rebbe, this yields for us a very important idea. Ka'asher ani madlik es ha-menorah, neshama shali. When I kindle my menorah, right, my neshama, ok es nishmaso shel azulas, ani yochol lach shov day bekach, sha'ar osi oso, ve'emot b'makom kadosh. So listen to this. I might think like this. You know what? I'm going to kindle my menorah, and we're going to call it a day. Now remember again, for me to kindle my menorah, I'm a zar, I'm not a kohen. So for me to kindle my menorah, what has to happen? The menorah has to be brought outside. I say brought outside, or actually the Gemara discusses that I could use a very, very, very long candle, right, to go. But the menorah could be brought outside, I could kindle it. So I might think like this, they brought the menorah outside for me, I kindled it. I kindled my wicks. I created some spirituality. We're good. Right? All is good. Finally, I got my menorah lit. And I'm going to Disneyland. Right? You know, that's it. I did my piece. I did what I'm supposed to do. We're done. Says it was something amazing. He says, Misha Omer Shalai Lidrosh Miatzmi Omezulasi Les Kadeim Lahosep Yidushas Va'od Tai Bekach Shamanara Dolekes. So again, once I reach a basic level of spiritual accomplishment, it's easy for me to say, I did my part, I did my piece, it's enough. Paragraph Yud Beis. Ba halacha zuva omeris. Yet what does the halacha say? Mikoma shel hamenorah hu beheichal. Yet the halacha tells me, the menorah does not belong outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah belongs in the heichal. Limros, shegam mekomos acherim pechusim imeno beramas kedushasam. The menorah belongs in the holiest of spaces. There are other holy spots, right? Outside of the Heichal is holy, the Ulam is Heichal, the courtyard is holy. There are many holy spots. But the menorah needs to be in the holiest of spaces, needs to be in the Heichal. Im ha-menorah omedes b'makom ba-kidusha pachusa, hadavar lo mushlam. If the menorah is situated in a place that is not the holiest of all places, we're not complete. Paragraph Yud Gimel. What's the message? Kol od nitan leskadim od. Kol od biyicholasi lalos lemakom kadosh yoser. Adayin lo hishlamti es atafkid shakolish baruch hu hitil alai. The message, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, is life must be filled with constant growth. I lit my menorah, right? Now, where did I light my menorah? Where did I light it? Outside. I lit it somewhere outside. Maybe they brought it out to the courtyard. Okay, after the courtyard, you have to bring it into the inner courtyard. After the courtyard, you have to bring it into the Heichal. My goal is I have to keep going until I get my menorah back into the Heichal. My menorah was brought out for me to kindle. I kindled it, which is an incredible, wonderful, and beautiful first step. But kindling is just that. It's only the first step. Sometimes what happens in the realm of spirituality is we kindle the menorah, and we're so proud that we kindled, as we should be, that we plateau after that. Successful spiritual living, or I should say the hallmark of successful spiritual living, is constant and perpetual growth. Today, must be better than yesterday. Yet tomorrow must be better than today. Now I want to point something out very important. We actually spoke about this a little bit last Shabbos. Better doesn't have to be dramatic. Better doesn't have to be dramatic. Better can be very small. Better can be very nuanced. Better doesn't have to be noticeable to anyone but me. Something as simple as saying, you know what, every day I blurt out brachas. Today, tomorrow, I'm going to make sure that the first bracha I make is going to be with kavana. The rest of them, forget about it, right? But at least the first one is going to be small little things that we do each and every day that move our menorah a little bit closer to the heichal. Igniting the menorah is an incredible first step, but that's what it is. It's a first step. The rest of life is that journey of getting your menorah from where you are now into the heichal of your existence. And everything you do to move your life forward, everything you do to advance yourself, moves your menorah just a little bit closer into your Beis HaMikdash. Moves your menorah just a little bit closer into your heichal. You don't need to engage in heroic Judaic spiritual activity. Even the smallest of things just nudges the menorah just a little bit closer to the heichal. But there's another lesson that comes out of this as well, which is the menorah doesn't remain in the heichal. The menorah can be moved outside of the heichal, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which teaches you what? Inspiration has to be a fixture of your existence wherever you are. You know, everybody wants inspiration, but sometimes you make the terrible mistake of thinking that inspiration is tethered to certain realities, right? So sometimes after I spend time in Eretz Yisrael, I spoke this a little bit on Monday night to a post-seminary group, right? That sometimes what happens, we come back, right? I'm back from Eretz Yisrael. It's never going to be the same. It's never going to be the same, right? That's it. Like, I'm going to be lucky if I'm not going to be a guy, you know, within a... That's it. If I remain Jewish and I'm still eating kosher within the year, such a success. But it'll never be like that. That is erroneous thinking. The goal, the menorah comes out of the heichal. The menorah doesn't just sit in the heichal. The menorah ultimately, again, is able to go to other places as well. Why? Because inspiration has to be part of your life wherever you are and whatever stage you're in. It's not the pshat that there's like a window of inspiration from the ages of 17 to 21. That's where I amass all of my inspiration. After that, like, I subsist on that for the rest of my life. Chas v'shalom. Every day I'm kindling the menorah. And the menorah is able to be taken out of the heichal because inspiration needs to be an aspect and dominant feature of your life wherever you are. There is no such thing as a person saying, I can't find inspiration here. Now again, is it true, of course, that it's easier to find inspiration in different places? Of course. As we just saw in the words of the Rebbe, in the words of the Mishnah, Eretz Yisrael is the holiest place in the world. Is it easier to feel inspired in Eretz Yisrael? Of course. Of course it is, right? Even easier than Lakewood, right? Mamish, even easier than Lakewood, it's still easier, right? The Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. You can't. But does that mean that at the end of the day, there's not inspiration wherever you are? Wherever you are, 1,000%. The menorah goes with you wherever you go. So it's this incredible relationship. On one hand, I have to take my menorah with me, my inspiration with me, and I have to inspire myself in whatever stage I am in life. So amazingly enough, I take my menorah out, but yet what's my goal? What's my goal? To ultimately get it back in. I take my menorah with me wherever I go. But at the same time, when I'm taking it out of the heichal, I have to simultaneously be living a life that's advancing myself and growing so that I'm pushing with the menorah back towards the heichal. This incredible dialectic. I'm taking the light of inspiration because I have to inspire myself wherever I am in life. So I'm taking it out, and I might be at times taking it very far away from the heichal. But in that moment, when I take my inspiration with me, when I take my menorah with me, and I become inspired, in that very moment when it looks like I'm taking my menorah out of the heichal, in fact, what am I really doing? I'm bringing it back closer into the heichal itself. Because every incremental unit of growth, no matter how big or how small, moves my menorah back towards my heichal. Therefore, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, from this simple pasuk detailing the menorah, the Rambam arrives at three different halachos. And from those three different halachos, we learn three dramatic life lessons. The three halachos, number one, anyone could go ahead and kindle the menorah. Right? Hadlaka is kishera bizarim. What does that teach us? Says the Rebbe, that teaches us, own your spirituality. You don't need a kohen. Asay lecha rav. Make yourself into your primary source of inspiration. Take ownership over your soul. Take ownership over your spirituality. The buck of your life stops with you. We love to blame people. My mother didn't love me enough. My father never played catch with me. My second grade teacher never gave me extra recess. I was never the Shabbos Malka in class. Never, not once. That's true, by the way. Never once. And my friends did this. And I didn't get that opportunity that I should have. And this happened, that happened. It's true, sometimes stuff happens in life. But the buck of your life stops with you. Who you are and who you're not is your decision. No one else bears the responsibility for that, and no one else bears the burden for that. Kindle your own menorah. It's yours. The match is in your hand. You have to make a decision. Do you want an inspired life or not? Do you want a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? Do you want holiness or not? If you get it, give yourself a pat on the back because you chose it. And if for some reason you don't have it, don't look around on who to blame. Own it. If you don't have it, it's because you chose not to ignite your menorah. Halacha number one, hadlakas neros kishir abizarim, teaching us, own your spirituality, ignite your own menorah, asay l'cha rav, make yourself into the Rebbe. Halacha number two, hatavas haneros rak al yidei kohen. As much as anyone could ignite the menorah, it is only a kohen who could set up the menorah. Teaching us what? That although everyone holds the key to their own spirituality, you can't make up the rules of the game. There's a framework in which we operate on. There's a foundation upon which we build. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us that foundation. And true spirituality, and this is one of the greatest challenges of our generation. We see this happening even within the Jewish community itself, that there's sometimes a notion that if it makes you feel good, if it makes you feel good, and it makes you feel connected, then it's got to be holy. And that's not true. There's a lot of things that make me feel good that are not good. And there's a lot of things that might give me the appearance or the feeling that I'm becoming holy, but I'm not. True spirituality and true holiness only comes from the menorah that is set up, when the oil and the wicks are set up by the kohen. If the framework is established by the kohen, then I could ignite it. And lesson number three, the menorah belongs in the heichal. Never be satisfied with your accomplishments. You know, at the end of the day, life is this very fine balance. You have to pause. You see, there are some people who never appreciate their accomplishments. That's not good and that's not healthy, because then you feel down on yourself. You have to take a moment to give yourself a shkoyach and to give yourself a pat on the back for the things you have accomplished. But right after you finish patting yourself on the back, there's one simple question, which is, what's next? What's next? There is no rest for the neshama. There is no rest for the Jew. There's always more to do. There's always more to accomplish. Because at the end of the day, my menorah to be lit was removed from the heichal. Now my job is to get it back to the heichal. And every little unit of growth, every way in which I grow. And again, sometimes we think about growth in like dramatic ways, right? Extreme spiritual makeover, right? I'm going to totally remake myself. First of all, most times in life when you try that, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Real change and lasting change occurs in the tiniest of baby steps. Small change, small change, small change, small change. Because when it's small, especially really small, then it's sustainable. And the more sustainable it is, ultimately, again, the more it really changes your essence as a person. Small, nuanced changes move our menorah back to the heichal. But yet, we also know that that menorah can't exist outside of the heichal, which teaches me, no matter where I am, you always have to be inspired. No matter where I am in life, I have to find a way to ignite my menorah. I take that menorah with me wherever I go, no matter how far I veer away from the heichal. But amazingly enough, no matter how far I take the menorah away, every time I do, every time I grow, I move that menorah back towards the heichal. I take it away from the heichal, but then when I grow, I move it right back to the heichal. This, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, are the incredible lessons we learn from the simple pasuk of Baloscha es Haneros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Aaron HaKohen to ignite the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, commands Aaron HaKohen ultimately to ignite the flames of the Jewish Sheba, but most importantly, commands us to ignite our inner menorahs as well. May we be zochem Mirtzah Hashem to internalize these worlds, these words, and in Mirtzah Hashem illuminate our lives. Shkoyah.
I don't think I would, Rabbi Silber, I'd like to thank you on behalf, I'm asking permission to publicly thank Rabbi Silber for another wonderful year.